Tennessee's offense is fun. Tennessee's offense is exciting. But there is one position group that has got to find some answers this spring, or that success might not follow in 2023. That and a whole lot more here on your Friday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols, and I am your host, Eric Kane. So glad to have you guys along for the ride here today on this Friday. We're going to get plenty of Tennessee basketball coverage that's coming up later in the show, Tennessee in the SEC tournament. But first, I do want to remind you guys that this episode of Locked On Vols is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today and go ahead and get started. All right, so spring practice begins March 20th. That is the week after next. We are breaking down the position groups, kind of giving you a lay of the land entering spring with some of the biggest storylines and a can or take here at the top. I know you guys like all that. Another coaches ranking list came out. We'll discuss that from The Athletic in segment two and then Vol Hoops in segment three. The tight end position. You guys are probably sick of me saying this by now, but the tight end position outside of quarterback. And of course, you can make the argument for the offensive line, for the quarterback, for the tight end position. But in this Josh Heupel offense, that tight end position might be the most important area. It might be the key to the ignition, if you will. It might be the position group that gets it going, all right? And for a number of different reasons. And I'll kind of explain that to you. And I know a lot of you guys have heard me say this before, but there are new followers of the show, new subscribers, and new people following on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all that good stuff. So I want to reiterate my point here. In Josh Heupel's offense, the up-tempo offense, you have got to have two tight ends who can pretty much split, 50-50, 60-40 of the snaps, that are versed in being Swiss Army knives. They can line up outside, in the slots, hand in the dirt on the line, as H-backs, sometimes as tailbacks. They have got to be versed and smart enough and athletic enough to line up in different areas. Why? Well, because in this tempo offense, Tennessee does not want to substitute, but it wants to mix up its formations. Having a guy that can line up and be that Swiss Army knife allows Tennessee to not substitute, and in return, that means the defense is not allowed to substitute as well. That's why Jacob Warren and Princeton Fan have been so critical to the success of the Tennessee offense the last two seasons. Jacob Warren is coming back, and that is huge. But there's a big-time question mark for the tight end position entering 2023. Who's going to step up and fill Princeton Fan's spot? You've got McCallum Castles, a transfer coming in for the transfer portal. Swan Song trying to get the league, and that's why he's coming to Tennessee. He formerly signed with Cal out of high school, spent his last couple seasons at UC Davis. He's been an all-Big Sky recipient the last couple years. He's a nice athlete. He came over via the transfer portal, but is he the answer to what we're looking for at tight end? Can he adequately split the reps 50-50, 60-40 with Jacob Warren and not only be a receiving option, but block well enough in this offense and be smart enough to line up and do all those things I've already mentioned? We don't know. I've never seen him play. I mean, I've seen some game tape a little bit, but I've never seen him, down in and down out, game in and game out, week after week. I don't know. But he's going to have to step up, and he will 100% have to play. He and John Campbell, we went over our transfer rankings a couple weeks ago. He and John Campbell might be the two most important transfer portal additions for Tennessee this offseason. And I'm pretty sure I have McCallum Castles listed down the list. And going back, I don't know what I was thinking. And I even said it then. I was like, I don't know why he's this low on this list, because he is so very important. But for Tennessee to be where it wants to be, the tight end position has got to be good. And, that's just the biggest question mark here for Tennessee. So, Jacob Warren, who he is, what he's going to give you. Is he as athletic and as versed in terms of his skill set as Princeton Fant? No. But is he as consistent as they come? Absolutely. Again, what you're going to get from Jacob Warren. He's a guy that can catch passes. He's a guy that can get you, that can move the sticks and everything. But is he going to be your number one, number two, number three option in the aerial passing game? Likely, no. That's not going to be the case. Will he give you two or three receptions a game on a good day? Yes, he will. But he's a smart kid. He's a veteran on this team. He knows this offense better. I don't want to say better than Alec Ablin, his new tight ends coach, because Alex Ablin has been in this offense or coaching this offense since 2016. But he is a guy that has already had, let's count him here, guys. He's already had one tight ends coach, two tight ends coaches, three tight. This is now his fourth tight ends coach while being at Tennessee. All right, but he knows it. So that's so very important that he came back and he is playing for Tennessee this year. McCallum Castles, you have no choice. You're going to have to step up and you're going to have to play in a big way because I'm not sure Ethan Davis is going to be ready to go and give you what you need to get. He is a signee, a highly rated four-star prospect out of Collins Hill High School in Suwanee, Georgia. Really nice athlete. Very athletic, if you will. He is a receiving tight end, but he is coming off an injury that kept him out the majority of senior season. Where is he in his rehabilitation? Where is he in his strength and conditioning? Kind of what's his plan for spring? I don't think he's going to be out there going 100%, but I want to know how much he's doing and kind of where he is in terms of his rehab. I think he's going to be really good in this offense. I do. But will that be in 2023? I'm not sure. I am not sure. And then after that, you don't have any scholarship tight ends. You have Hunter Solomon, who's a walk-on, but has been in this offense for a couple years, has seen significant playing time. When I say significant, meaning he has seen some snaps in critical situations. He knows this offense and everything, but he's not on scholarship, but he is a guy that knows the system and everything. You have Charlie Browder, who was brought in via walk-on last year, and kind of had some high hopes for him, but got injured in game one against Ball State and really didn't see much from him the rest of the way. I mean, was he ever going to be a starter? No, but a nice critical depth piece via the transfer portal, getting him to walk on from UCF, a guy that he recruited at UCF, but he was never really a factor last year. So just a lot of question marks at the tight end position for the University of Tennessee, and they've got to get figured out. I'll tell you this one thing right now. You know, post-spring practice when that portal opens again, if there is a tight end in there with multiple years of eligibility that makes sense and Tennessee likes, they're going to get him. That was the plan this entire offseason. Well, you had to get at least one. I think they wanted to get two, but you had to get at least one, and you would want one with multiple years of experience. Didn't find that, but did find McCallum Castles. But this time next year, Jacob Warren's not here. McCallum Castles not here. I mean, you have Ethan Davis coming up, and how much PT did he get this past season? It's the cog that makes this thing go, baby. That is the tight end position. You got to figure it out. So for success to follow Tennessee's offense in 2023, sure, Joe Milton's got to hit. You got to have good offensive line play. Got to rebound and regroup after losing Darnell Wright, after losing Jerome Carvin. But maybe the biggest question mark we have right now is that tight end position. I am super intrigued to see what McCallum Castles looks like, Jacob Warren, Ethan Davis, all that position group in terms of the tight end. That is coming up here in spring practice when it begins the week after next. So join me in hoping that the tight end position will be resolved for Tennessee. Hey, where does Josh Heupel rank on the Athletics top head coaches at the FBS level? I'll tell you, and let's talk about if we agree and if he should be ranked higher or maybe even lower. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. Hoops coming up at the end of the show. Right now, I want to tell you about our friends over at FanDuel Sportsbook. It is March Madness time. It is time for the conference tournaments for the NCAA tournament. Selection Sunday is coming up on Sunday of this week. You can get all that and more at FanDuel Sportsbook. Plus, it's a little over halfway past the NBA halfway point, and you can get all the action for college hoops and NBA action over at FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. They have no sweat first bet up to $1,000, and that's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It is safe, it is secure, and it is super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores or three-pointer strain. You have individual player props like player points, rebounds, and assists. You can go spread, money line, totals, all that and more. That is at FanDuel Sportsbook. And FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same-game parlay. Don't miss a chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuelSportsbook.com. That is FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, guys, welcome back into it. Your Friday edition of Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys. The cue of the day, question of the day, with spring practice beginning on March the 20th, who is one veteran that you're keeping an eye on? Who is one veteran that you are going to be watching? Maybe it's Joe Milton. Obviously, that's a really good veteran to watch who's going to be the expected starting quarterback for the University of Tennessee. Maybe it's McCallum Castles, who is a new transfer that we talked about in the tight end position. Maybe it's John Campbell. Maybe it's Brew McCoy. Maybe it's somebody else. I don't know. Who's a veteran that you're – maybe it's somebody on defense. I just named out all those offensive guys. Who's a veteran that you're looking forward to watching in spring practice? That is the cue of the day, and you can always answer that at Locked On Vols and at underscore Caner. All right, we got hoops coverage from the SEC tournament. That's coming up in segment number three. But let's get into this new, it's never too early for list season, guys. We've got Stuart Mandel's top 25 college football head coaches, and this is at theathletic.com. Let's discuss, where's Josh Heupel ranked on this list? Well, spoilers, I'll go ahead and tell you right now. Josh Heupel comes in at number 18 overall on this list, and that is the, let's see here, that is the fourth coach from the SEC. So not bad, right? This is the write-up here from Stuart Mandel, The Athletic. Number 18, Josh Heupel. Where was he ranked on this same list in 2022? He was not ranked. Quote, I was an admitted Heupel skeptic prior to last season, but he's won me over. After leading the Vols to their best season in two decades, 11-2 and number 6 in the final ranking, Heupel is 46-16 in 5 seasons as a head coach and has produced a top 10 scoring offense in all five. It's pretty incredible when you just sit back there and think about it, okay? He has been 46-16, 2 seasons at Tennessee, 3 seasons at UCF, 5 seasons total as a head coach at the FBS level, and he has had a top 10 scoring offense in all 5 seasons. You want to talk about motto? You want to talk about an identity? Well, Josh Heupel certainly has that. And Stuart Mandel says, hey, he was a Heupel skeptic, you know, when he was hired by Tennessee, but he has now won him over. Now, what's really going to win Stuart Mandel and everybody else over is if, from a national perspective, is if he retains this, you know, winning season after winning season after winning season. We talk about this here on the show. 11-2 was great last year, but can he go 9-3 and pick up that 10th win in bowl season? Can he go 10 wins in the regular season again in 2022? I don't know. We'll have to see. It'll be interesting to see, but if he can do that, that being Josh Heupel, he'll just shoot up this list and everybody else's, because it's impressive when you retain that success. The guy that comes in right behind Josh Heupel has retained that success in the Southeastern Conference. He's a bigger name, of course, but it's Lane Kiffin. He says on Lane Kiffin, I think I got caught up in the moment last year after Kiffin produced the Rebels' first ever 10-win regular season. They slipped to 8-5 in 2022. He still produced the 10-plus win teams in 6 seasons at FAU at Ole Miss, but the low teens is more representative ranking. But the fact that he had Ole Miss ranked at the time before losing its final game in the Egg Bowl is pretty incredible when you ask me, seeing how much Ole Miss lost, plus all the coordinators that Ole Miss had to replace. I thought that was impressive. But Kiffin comes in behind Josh Heupel. Josh Heupel's at number 4 on this list. Who's at the top and who is in front of Josh Heupel in terms of the SEC rankings? Well, you start at the top, according to Stuart Mandel. He still has Nick Saban at number 1. He has Saban 1A, Kirby Smart as 1B. So Kirby Smart 2nd, but it's a 1A and it's a 1B. We've gone over this. I forgot which ranking we kind of discussed last week on the show, but it's to the point now to where you need, and you know, over the, who's the best coach, like, throughout his entire career, absolutely is Nick Saban. But if we're talking about, it's all about how you look at it. Who's the best coach right now? How in the world could you not go with the guy that won back-to-back national championships? It's got to be Kirby Smart, right? And I understand, as Tennessee fans, you're just throwing up in your mouth right now. I get it. But that's just kind of my opinion on this. If you're talking about who's the best coach right now, you have to flip Kirby Smart and Nick Saban, because Kirby Smart's won back-to-back national titles. Best coach overall, it's still Nick Saban. I mean, he's the Yoda, right? But he has Nick Saban at number 1. Kirby Smart is at number 2. Maybe a surprise here. Maybe a reach. You got Brian Kelly at number 4. Third coach from the SEC to enter the top 4 here of this ranking. For Brian Kelly, of course, he took LSU to a SEC championship in year number 1. I get all that. He said, for those who underappreciated Kelly's 92-40 tenure at Notre Dame, his LSU debut served as a friendly reminder of its ability to build a program. He took over a Tigers team that went 11-12 in the prior 2 seasons, brought in some key transfers, and led LSU to 10 wins and an SEC championship game appearance. It was his 6th consecutive 10-plus win season. Remember, here on Locked On Vols, when we discuss Brian Kelly, we say, hell of a coach, shitty human being, and we move on. So we got Brian Kelly there, and then it's Heupel. Heupel comes in next. There's a big gap in between SEC coaches. You got 3 in the top 4 of this list, according to Stuart Mandel and The Athletic. You got to go all the way down to 18, but that is the next SEC head coach, and that is Josh Heupel. We mentioned Josh Heupel's here at 18. Lane Kiffin is here at number 19. Mark Stoops comes in at 20. Hugh Freeze, who hasn't been in the SEC in years, is at number 22. Jimbo Fisher is at 23. And let's see here. In the just missed category, it is Shane Beamer of South Carolina. So I don't think Jimbo Fisher should be in the top 25 whatsoever. I understand he has won a national title. I think he is the most overrated coach in college football right now. Also, the most overpaid coach in college football right now. If that buyout wasn't north of $70 million right now, his butt would be gone. I'm intrigued to see if you just want to bite the bullet, right? Because it's only going to go down to like 56 next year, right? I mean, if you want to get rid of him, just get rid of him. You know, you talk about all that oil money out in Texas. I mean, pony up, big boys. Like, let's go. Jimbo Fisher sucks, in my opinion. Again, he's won a national title with a generational style of a quarterback in Jameis Winston. It just kind of is what it is. But do you agree with this? Heupel is the fourth best quarterback in, Heupel is the fourth best coach in the SEC, only behind Saban, Smart, and Brian Kelly, in front of Kiffin, Stoops, Freeze, Fisher, Beamer. Who else will be on this list? Of course, he's better than Sam Pittman right now. He's done more. Of course, he's better than Dak Arnett over at Mississippi State. He's brand new. Of course, he's better than Eli Drinkwitz, who's just a clown. Of course, he's better than Billy Napier, although on the list at this time last year, which again, it was just hilarious to me. I don't know for a fact if it was The Athletic, but you know, all these lists we talk about head coaching rankings entering the new season. I remember last year, I mean, Heupel was deserving to be at, you know, 29 or 33, wherever he was, because he did a nice job at UCF. He did a nice job in year one at Tennessee, but it was still just 7-5. But the fact that they had Billy Napier ranked ahead of Josh Heupel in several of these preseason lists as being head coaching rankings was just baffling to me. It just shows you get sucked in to the sexy hire of the offseason. That was Billy Napier last year. I think Billy Napier will be fine at Florida. Florida's got the resources. It will recruit well because, hello, it's Florida. But the fact that he was ranked higher than Josh Heupel last year as being the sexy newcomer into the SEC when Heupel's already been there, done that, did it with that roster and transformed that identity of the program into a complete 180, just hilarious to me. That's why it's a great reminder that these lists, they really mean nothing. But we're going to talk about it here on Locked On Vols because hashtag content in the month of February and March. But I think it says a lot that Heupel can move up that far all the way to number 18, according to this list, fourth coach in the SEC. So good on Josh Heupel. Good on Josh Heupel. What is another 9-win? What's another 10-win? What's another 11-win season do for Josh Heupel in terms of where he ranks with the big boys and the Nick Sabans, the Kirby Smarts, the Brian Kellys? You know, we'll find out. But in such a little short amount of time, Josh Heupel has really done a heck of a job here at Tennessee. In case you're wondering, you go check out The Athletic for the full thing, but I'll give you the rest of the top 10. Of course, you had Saban at 1A, Smart at 1B, Dabo Swinney at 3. You had Brian Kelly at 4, Lincoln Riley at 5, Jim Harbaugh at 6, Ryan Day at 7, Kyle Whittingham at 8, Luke Fickell at number 9, and James Franklin. Sorry, I just couldn't get over it again. I understand they were 11-2 last year with a Rose Bowl win, but James Franklin, you talk about overrated coaches. He's not as overrated as Jimbo Fisher, but he is overrated. Anyway, James Franklin comes in there at number 10. But some nice props here for Josh Heupel, according to Stuart Mandel of The Athletic, coming in at number 18 in his top 25 head coaches rankings here in the month of March, fourth best from the Southeastern Conference. Cue of the day, who is a veteran you're wanting to watch when spring practice begins for Tennessee on March the 20th? Who's a veteran you're going to keep your eye on? @_Caner, @LockedOnVols. We will discuss Tennessee and Ole Miss at the SEC tournament. That is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. But hey, if you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all those fat and calories, you've got to try Built Bar. We just went through the holiday season. Of course, we're on into the year 2023, and maybe you're trying to lose some weight for the bathing suit season coming up, but you don't want to sacrifice taste for health. Then try Built Bars. Why? Because they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Again, 100% real chocolates, and they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. Not really sure how they do it, but it's also healthy for you. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. Yeah, trade that at 130 cals for 17 grams of protein. Just incredible. And not only can you build, can you buy them at Built.com, you can also go to your local Sam's or Walmart, pick up a 4-bar box or a 13-bar box of your favorite hit flavors. Built.com, Sam's Club, Walmart, all those options for purchasing 100% real chocolate, 17 grams of protein that is built at Built Bars. All right, guys, welcome back into it. Your Friday edition of Locked On Vols, and we're going to get into that Tennessee 70-55 win over Ole Miss here to conclude a week's worth of show. Tennessee advances on in the SEC tournament. Again, 70-55 winner over Ole Miss. Tennessee is 2-0 against Ole Miss. This time it wasn't as nerve-wracking as the one it was that right at the top of the new year. I remember we were down in Miami about to cover Tennessee in the Orange Bowl, and Tennessee just squeaked by a win over Ole Miss to, I believe, to open up SEC play, if I'm not mistaken. But this one, you know, Tennessee was in control pretty much throughout. Josiah Jordan-James hit a three-pointer to begin Tennessee's run in the opening possession. He had a three-pointer at the buzzer heading into halftime, and Tennessee led by six heading into the halftime break, and then had a nice little run there into the second half to begin the second half, got it into double figures, and Tennessee just kind of kept fending off Ole Miss, and eventually holding Ole Miss scoreless for the last 2:19 of the game. They were one for their last 10 in field goal attempts, and Tennessee went on a 6-0 run over the last 2:13 of the ball game as well. And that's kind of how we got to the 70-55 win over Ole Miss. Now, what this means, Tennessee advances on for a chance to play for a semifinal matchup in the SEC tournament for, I believe, something like 5 of the last 6 seasons. Tennessee moves on to the quarterfinals. It will play Missouri the second game of Friday. So it'll be kind of right around this start time, maybe 3:30, 4 o'clock Eastern time. And really looking forward to what Tennessee can do against Missouri. You remember, Missouri won at the buzzer. It was such a great comeback for Tennessee to climb all the way back from 17 points down, take a lead. I think it led by 6 in the final little minutes there of that game against Missouri back in February. And then Missouri won at the buzzer in heartbreaking fashion. So a chance for Tennessee to get some revenge and come back and try to win over Missouri to advance on to Saturday, where Tennessee will likely be playing Alabama. But it was 70-55. The 5th-seeded Volunteers took down the 13th-seeded Rebels of Ole Miss. Josiah Jordan-James, he was the story of the day, finished with a game-high 20 points, 6 of 13 shooting, 4 of 11 from downtown. He made all of his free throws, had 6 rebounds, had 3 assists, only turned the ball over one time, and James played 31 minutes of the possible 40 minutes in this ball game. Looked really, really good. And again, I mentioned had that 3 on the opening possession, had a 3 going into the halftime break, had a 3 late, and then another 3 that was actually wiped off for a shot clock violation. Tennessee shot nearly 50% from the field in this one, 47%, 24 or 51 overall from the field. Made 10 three-pointers, 10 of 28, 36%. The only error, I would say, for Tennessee against Ole Miss in this game, 14 turnovers compared to only 7 from the Rebels. But not a lot of firepower. Burns had a really good day for Ole Miss. He had Brakefield as well as Merle have 12 points apiece, but that's kind of all she wrote for the Rebels. Tennessee was able to, because of its good defense, because it's just bigger and more athletic and a better basketball team, it was able to overcome those 14 turnovers. But if you turn it over 14 times against Missouri tomorrow, you might lose. If you turn it over 14 times against Alabama, you're likely going to lose because Alabama's a good team. So that was really the only issue for Tennessee. It, you know, won the rebounding battle. Let's see here. You know, 38-22. It had 9 offensive rebounds as well. It scored 17 points from the bench. It was outscored in the paint 24-22. But again, Tennessee really shot the ball well from the perimeter in this game. And Tennessee won the assist battle 15-13. But again, it was Josiah Jordan-James, 20 points, led all scorers. Santiago Vescovi was there, scoring 15 points. He didn't have the best day shooting, only made 4 of 12 from the field. But 3 of 4 of those were from long range, 3 of 10 from shooting downtown, 4 of 4 from the charity stripe. Tennessee didn't have many free throw attempts in this game, but actually ended up having 2 more than Ole Miss. And it was just with a couple minutes left in the first half when they finally got to the line for the first time. But Tennessee did cash in when given opportunities, 12 of 14 from the charity stripe. So Vescovi, not a great shooting day, but he was able to kind of manage getting 15 points on 4-12 shooting. He had 6 rebounds. He had 3 assists. Jemiah Mayshak, he had four turnovers. He was the one that was kind of turning it over for Tennessee, and Olivier Cumwa also had three turnovers in this one. But Cumwa shot 50% from the field, scoring 9 points. A decent day for him. Thought Julian Phillips helped on the offensive end a little bit, and he actually had 6 rebounds, which again is good for Julian Phillips, 6 rebounds and 8 points. And really it was just kind of a total team effort. You had 5 points from Jabai Meshack. You had 3 points from Tyreek Key, who his one field goal made was a three-pointer from the top of the key. That looked good. 4 points from Toby Awaka and 5 rebounds in only 13 minutes. That man is just a rebounding machine. Jonas Adu had 4 points. Brandon Edwards actually got in there for a couple minutes there towards the end. He didn't score, but again, it was a total team effort for Tennessee. And so we'll see what's in store for the Volunteers. They will move on. They will play Missouri, as I pointed out. And that'll be the second game of the afternoon on Friday from Nashville. And the first game's going to be at 1 o'clock Central Time, so look for the second game to begin around 3:30, 4 o'clock against Missouri. If Tennessee wins that one again, it will advance on and likely play Alabama. Alabama is going to play the winner, or Alabama is going to, of course, have a game tomorrow night. And if Tennessee wins, or tomorrow, and if Tennessee wins against Missouri, likely we'll play Alabama in the semis on Saturday for a chance to go back to the SEC tournament championship. So a good win for Tennessee. It was a clean win for Tennessee. It was an encouraging win for Tennessee. But again, Ole Miss is not a good team. They were 11-22 was their overall record. They fired their head coach in Kermit Davis. They were a different basketball club this go around. And of course, the challenge is going to be much greater tomorrow against Missouri. But Tennessee looked like it was able to feel some things out defensively at times, especially in the first half and early in the second half. Wasn't fantastic, but you look up at the scoreboard and only 55 points at game's end. So that defense, looked to be rebounding and getting better, but they'll need it. They'll need a great defensive effort against Missouri, who is one of the more dangerous offensive teams really in the country, depending on what night it is, right? So we'll see what Tennessee has in store. 70-55, a winner over Ole Miss. But here's one thing for sure. Without Zakai Ziegler, Tennessee needs good Josiah Jordan James. Tennessee needs good Santiago Vescovi. Tennessee needs 6 rebounds from Julian Phillips. Tennessee needs 6 rebounds from Toby Awaka. Tennessee needs it to be a group effort, and that is what it was on Thursday. And Tennessee, a 15-point win, and we'll advance on. We will come back on Monday. We will recap. I would try to do as much as I could over the weekend. I understand it's the SEC tournament, but quite frankly, guys, I'm busy. I'm covering baseball this weekend, and I've got a couple of different things going on. So we will be back on Monday morning. We will recap everything that was Tennessee in the SEC tournament. I will be doing Locked On Nows, with the exception of Friday night, of Tennessee and what they kind of look like in their games. So as long as they go, I will have a now, and I'll tweet it out from the Locked On Vols account so you can look at it from there. But we'll be back on Monday morning, Locked On Vols, recap everything that was Tennessee in the SEC tournament, and of course, looking towards March Madness, where Tennessee is picked and what seed line Tennessee is and where Tennessee will be. We'll have all that and more coming up on Monday's show following Selection Sunday. Guys, as always, I appreciate it. Make Locked On College Basketball your second listen now more than ever. It is March Madness time, conference tournaments, Selection Sunday, NCAA tournaments. When you're done with Locked On Vols, make Locked On College Basketball your second listen. Guys, I appreciate it. As always, please subscribe to the channel on YouTube. Follow us at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. And we'll try again on Monday. This is Locked On Vols.